At Matins, the church's midnight prayer this morning, she sang, "The Father's voice was heard. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How quickly they grow up, our children. We see him this eighth day after Epiphany, no longer a baby, regally receiving the Iranian delegation with their gifts, the Magi from Persia, but now a man whom his best man, John, calls a lamb, the innocent sin bearer, who stops to be baptized on his way to be sacrificed for our sins, so that when we are baptized, he institutes this first sacrament of the new law on this day, so that when we are baptized, we may see and hear and be something, someone, quite different than before. And this goes as well for what St. Thérèse of Lisieux calls our second baptismal robe, the grace of a good confession. Behold him today, the Lamb, innocent, resolutely bearing each one of our faults and sins with him, the results, really, of original sin, which is taken away by this sacrament, but whose traces remain on our souls. And so there he goes, carrying it all with him, the Lamb, down to the river. All our fears and our doubts and our frustrations, the feelings of futility which seize us sometimes, those moments of loneliness, worthlessness perhaps, face to face with our weakness, depression for some, the sense that we can never do anything right, or dread, and our longing and our cravings, that anguish that makes our heart ache. Jesus Christ took all of this upon himself at the incarnation, and today he plunges it into the water, Jordan's death-dealing and life-giving water. And then he emerges to hear the infinite love of our Father. "Thou art my beloved Son," he says. When we join him in the water, not just once at baptism, "My God, how good thou art," but at every confession, we hear his voice. "You are my beloved Son." It's a voice otherwise drowned out by those thousands of things the Lamb carried with him down to the water. He never stops calling us his own, but we frequently weary of listening. St. John, in today's mystical gospel, refers only to what he saw. He refers to the Lamb and to the dove, two animals of sacrifice and of sanctity. Not to what he heard, though. But if we look at St. Luke, we hear this gospel at Easter time when we keep St. Joseph's solemnity. There's something here in this gospel you need to hear. Our Lord knew it. So did the womb-sanctified John the Baptist. But I wonder if you know it. Now it came to pass, St. Luke writes, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, and this is how it reads in the Greek, Thou art my Son, my beloved one, in thee am I well pleased. In these lines, says the angelic doctor, Thomas Aquinas, in these lines we see the disposition of soul necessary for baptism. We see the effects of our baptism, and we see, too, the perfection of baptism, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost given at confirmation. Now, why did Jesus, the sinless Son of God, embrace this baptism of repentance? His cousin had been administering to the Jews. And then go on, as we believe he did, to institute on that day the sacrament of baptism. Why, he did it so that one day, today, each one of us could hear the Father say, remember a few weeks ago we looked at the invitatory, the 94th psalm that invites us to pray each morning. Remember those words of the Father in the Old Testament? If today you will hear his voice. Well, this is the voice you need to hear today. You are my beloved one, my child. With you I am well pleased. When you were baptized, it was more than just the customary childhood ceremony, a christening, people call it. It was certainly more than the entering into the Christian community that the Novus Ordo makes of it. More even than the shedding of sin, original and in the actual sin that may have been upon your soul with its punishment too. When you are baptized, you are united to Jesus. He poured his life, sanctifying grace, into you. He made you look like himself. That's the character of baptism. He made you part of his body, membership in the one true church. He made you children of God. He endowed you with faith and hope and charity. And you were, in a word, drawn in to the family circle, a son now, a daughter, to the eternal Father. If you listen for it, these words, my beloved one, in you I am well pleased, still sound today. He never stopped saying it. We just stopped listening. If only you hear them now, and what is prayer if not listening to God? But if you don't hear, why then your life becomes absurd. Talk to somebody tomorrow about religion and tell them that you are a traditional Catholic and that we believe that the Pope is a heretic and that this is the one true Mass. These are the only valid sacraments in the world. And that we go to Masses every Sunday and we pray every day and we try to say our rosary daily and we go to confession at least once a month or when there's mortal sins and we don't eat meat on. And there's a long list, a long list. And someone could look at you and say, well, that's absurd. You don't really believe that, do you? No one else does. It is absurd if you take a crack at doing all of that and yet you're not listening, if you hear not the Father's voice. Absurd comes from the Latin, absurdus, without hearing, deaf in a word, deaf. We have to hear, first of all, faith cometh by understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, says the Apostle Paul. What do we need to hear? Well, this is my beloved Son, my beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. Believe it. It is true. Do you believe our Lord is pleased with you? If you are not living that reality today, you're in luck. Lent this year is right around the corner, and it is our time for listening. What else are you going to do in a wilderness, in a desert? And today, you can ask the Holy Ghost, who is seen as a shining white dove, you can ask him to examine your ears, to restore your hearing, to inspire some kind of insight in here into the ways of God, which are difficult to hear. And all those times when hearing you did not hear, well, then ask him for forgiveness. And then rejoice. Rejoice in your true you, that beloved child who makes the Father smile. So that's when this world's winds blow sharp and cut harsh, howling out over the words of the blessing of your baptism, leaving you just holding on to, oh, I don't know, bitterness or jealousy, a burst of anger, which leaves you feeling rejected. That's when, if you're listening, you could still rejoice, because this is your way now, today, to reclaim more fully and deeply the truth. You, my beloved one, if you can hold on to that amidst the world's noise, then I would say your hearing is pretty acute. After the baptism at the river, the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, drove Jesus out into the desert to be tempted. His 40-day fast, our Lent. Just 1 month from today comes our Ashes, the beginning of Lent. We usually, at St. Gertrude, choose some companion, some thought, a theme, a devotion, some saint, perhaps, to accompany us into the wilderness. Who to invite? I think we need somebody to go with us who's simple and down to earth and practical and almost childlike. They're the easiest to get along with in the long term. Someone who, in her love of God, is a listener, because we could use a little work when it comes to listening. Someone who knew she was loved by God since the age of 3. She never doubted it. And she loved God back again until she died, so young, at the age of 24. This month, on the 2nd January, she would have turned 140, and yet she's one of those saints who will always be God's child, a grown-up, yes, but one who never did grow up. Even as she is God's beloved one, in whom he is well pleased. She's the one for us. I am this child, wrote St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower of the child Jesus. I am this child. She wrote that in her autobiography, The Story of a Soul. The object of the foreseeing love of the Father, who has not sent his word to save the just, but sinners. He wants me to love him because he has forgiven me not much, but all, making me, we might conclude for St. Therese, his beloved one, in whom he is well pleased. We'll be able to hear that voice more clearly come a month from now, because we'll be in the desert and it will be Lent. So let us ask her, the little flower, to accompany us on that journey. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.